Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
For the Celtics, back over 500, Keith.
Yeah, I've been waiting all season for this. Holy smokes. I thought the Celtics were going to be okay. I was wrong for the most part, but turning that ship around just a little bit. You got to get one game over 500 before you get to two games over 500, before you get to five games over 500, before you can play in the play-in game. It's find out your fate when you're the 9 seed in the Eastern Conference. One step at a time.
Well, maybe you win
one win at a time.
You don't really find out right then.
Yeah, because maybe you beat the 10 seed.
Yeah.
And now you got like the 7 or the 8 waiting for you.
If you could choose between winning the NBA Cup or...
NBA Cup. Stop
yeah,
right
okay,
there.
Yeah, NBA, NBA Cup.
I'm asking the wrong...
I'm barking up the wrong tree.
Yeah, NBA Cup. What do you mean?
Yeah, you don't want to make that play-in tournament?
No.
The little quick play-in?
Well, not. I mean, if I'm given the choice.
Yeah.
I'm winning something. I don't think I'm winning anything from the 8s.
You'd rather be... win the NBA Cup and be a lottery team. So you get to raise a banner and you have a little chance at DeBanza.
Kind of the best of both worlds, okay. If you ask me.
All right.
So the Celtics are winners last night, 113-99 over the Brooklyn Nets. That's where we start here today on Jones and Keefe. Whole bunch of ways you can get in touch on the phones and text line, 617-779-7937. You can interact on Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. You can watch along and chat. Twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. Healthy chat there. You can watch there as well. Just subscribe to WEEI. I will get to the Red Sox later on this hour. We'll get to the Bruins later on this hour. We'll get to, and this is new, Keith. This is proprietary. And we should have copywrote it.
Yeah.
We should have done that yesterday.
Yes.
But the Jones and Keefe AFC standings, we have a mathematical numerical formula to rework the AFC standings. Because a lot of people are complaining about the Patriots.
Yeah.
Are they fool's gold? Do they have any good wins?
Strength of schedule.
Strength
who they
of
play?
Schedule.
No.
Strength of victory.
The legwork has been done. We already told you weeks ago that the Jones and Keefe playoff predictor had them in at 100%.
Correct.
Way ahead of everybody else.
Much
further
ahead.
This is sort of a little bit, this is next level. This is through 11 weeks, taking a look at all the teams in the AFC, all their wins and losses. This is ours only.
Don't go copying it now.
You can use it, but just get a cite us.
Yeah.
You got to put the old at Jones and Keefe if you're using it on Twitter or Instagram, something like that. But so, yes, you'll find out how serious they are and where they rank against everybody else.
So we'll do that at 11.
Good.
Plus we have a Would You Rather Wednesday. We have the Dork Minute.
Yeah.
And Pure Hoops with Terp. At high noon, so a busy, busy day.
Fresh off a trip to the Barclays.
Here on Jones and Keefe. I'm curious his thoughts on the Celtics now at 8-7. They beat the Brooklyn Nets last night, who are now 0-7 at home, 2-12 overall.
And another reason why you can't tank. We asked the question preseason for both the Bruins and the Celtics, like, should either one consider tanking? The Celtics just physically can't. Like, unless Brown and White were out for the season as well as Tatum. Like, look at the team. Look at that Nets team. Like, are they serious with that? Like, that is an NBA team, I guess.
Oh, you don't like Michael Porter Jr.? You don't like a front court of Noah?
Actually, Michael Porter Jr. is not bad. He's their best player by far.
Noah Clowney and Nick Claxton?
No.
Terrence Mann?
No.
Igor Demon?
Igor Demon.
That's sweet. That's a sweet name.
That's a kick-ass name. But that's no, I don't want Igor Demon on my team. Like, oh, you guys ready to go? It's like, yeah, we're starting Igor Demon tonight.
Okay, so they're bad. Here's the bad news for the Celtics. They were losing with 9 minutes to go in this game.
Yeah, that was surprising to me.
I would say that was surprising.
That was alarming.
So they're 8-7. They're over 500. They've won 3 in a row. I want to say, and I was saying the other day, I'm like, well, maybe they're righting the ship a little bit. The schedule is lightening up back-to-back in Brooklyn. I don't feel great about last night's win. I mean, I'm happy they won compared to losing, obviously. But I don't feel great coming out of that game last night and look at the Celtics like they've figured anything out.
No, they had a dogfight with the Brooklyn Nets.
They had one possession at the end of the game where I want to say it was like three or four straight threes. They just kept grabbing offensive rebounds and just hucking up threes. And it's like they've learned nothing. Nothing has changed. They've lost a bunch of talent off the team. I feel like they still don't know how to play. I thought they'd just, you know, wipe the floor with Brooklyn last night, that gorgeous herringbone floor. I thought they'd wipe the floor with them.
Yeah.
And it turns out they were losing with 9 minutes to go to this trash-ass team.
Yeah, they're a dump team.
I wanted to come in feeling better about them, and I really don't. And you look at a guy like Jaylen Brown last night. If you look at the final box score, okay. He puts up 29 points. He has, a game where he's contributing rebounds and assists, though not enough, 4-4.
Uh-huh.
8 turnovers last night.
Part
Yikes. Of 19 turnovers for the Celtics. Why were the Nets in the game?
Yeah, that's it.
Because they kept turning it over, and because their number one guy kept turning it over last night to the point where he was kind of benched in the first half. Keith, he was benched.
Played 10 minutes.
In the first half, he played 10 total minutes.
Yeah.
Here's Jaylen on that after the game, his limited usage in the first half.
No, I was just playing like in the first half. Honestly, turning the ball over, et cetera. So I was just, took a minute for me to figure it out, but I kind of picked it up to close the game. But got to come out to a better start in the first half, especially in the first quarter, because the team kind of feeds off me. I know that, so I got to be better. Jill's just holding me to a higher standard.
Okay. So, like, he didn't play well last night. He was great in the third quarter, but he didn't start the game. 8 turnovers. Like, that's why the Nets were in the game.
Is it too far, too harsh to say, like, we're learning a lot about Jaylen Brown, or maybe we're just confirming what we already knew, where, like, he's a very, very good player, and he's been on very, very good teams his whole career, but he's not going to carry a team. Like, or I was trying to think of other comps, and the one that I came up with before, I don't know if I've come up with one better, but, like, Zach LaVine. Zach LaVine's really good, and if Zach LaVine was paired up with Jason Tatum for his whole career...
Which, by the way, earmuffs out there, Andy Hart. Andy Hart can't...
Hates LaVine?
Jaylen
Brown.
He can't possibly like his guy Jaylen Brown to be compared to Zach LaVine.
I don't know. I don't know if it's too harsh. This guy's a finals MVP. He's a multi-time all-star. He was all-NBA for a season. But you can go through years and find guys that you're like, okay, he was all-NBA. Like, good for you, but, like, isn't perennial. Like, Jason Tatum. And some wonder, does Tatum get too much credit and Brown not enough? I don't know. I think the way it's unfolding this season is only kind of supporting that case. Like, Jason Tatum, just how important he is. And we've been upset. Like, we've been frustrated with him, and we've talked about some, like, late possessions with him or sort of disappearing for a quarter here and there. But overall, I think you know what his worth is. And Jaylen Brown, a really good player, but it's the NBA. Every team's going to have a guy that scores 25 points per game. So, like, something like that isn't going to really stand out to you. And you're struggling to beat the Nets. You just barely got over 500. I don't know. Like, this could have gone another way. There was some talk that, like, hey, Jaylen Brown wants to prove that he is a true top 10 player in the league. This will be his opportunity. There's no sharing credit. Yeah, sure. People will be like, oh, Derek White's good, Peyton Pritchard's good. But this will be Jaylen Brown's time to shine.
So I think they've all been exposed, right? Derek White.
Oh, big time.
Peyton Pritchard, the coach, Joe Mazzulla. Like, they've all been exposed. And I thought they would all look better than they have. All of them.
Yeah.
And Pritchard's maybe turned it on a little bit.
See, I think even with Pritchard, though, it's like...
What is he?
He was the sixth man of the year. That's awesome. That's what he should be. And so he's been asked to do more, and I think he's doing the best he can. He's had some good nights. He's had some bad nights. To me, it's more Brown and White. Like, I just assumed, wrongly, that those two guys would play at an all-star caliber. And Brown will be an all-star, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I thought they would be more, completely step up their game with Tatum not there, because there's just way more shots to be had. There's way more possession. There's way more time with the ball. And I don't know. I haven't really seen it enough. Not consistently.
So, and I guess... why I'm disappointed is because I had a high opinion of Jaylen Brown. Like, I thought in the playoffs last year when Tatum went down, Jaylen couldn't carry him to a title, but I thought he could carry him past New York. I thought they had enough.
For one game, it looked like maybe they could. Then it turned back into a pumpkin.
And look, last year they still had a lot without Tatum.
Yeah.
Like, you still had Drew Holiday, and you still had Porzingis, although he needed to take a nap every other game.
Yeah, that was wild.
And you still had Horford, and, like, I really thought with that much, and it was still only the Knicks on the other side, I thought Jaylen could carry him past it. There was a point in the offseason, if they treated it seriously, where I thought they'd be a top four team if they just added something – in the offseason. They did not. The offseason was a joke. The new owner is a joke. And so they tore it down. So I lowered that to still top six in the East, which I don't think is a crazy expectation. And I want your thoughts on this. 617-779-7937. What is a realistic expectation? But because I had Jaylen Brown or a high opinion of Jaylen Brown, I'm really disappointed in how he's played. 8 turnovers last night, getting benched. He came out the other day when he had 30-plus points, and he's like, oh, you know, I wasn't even that good.
Oh, the team needs me to
and
do
it
more.
Feels like
it's like,
this,
dude, you were good that game.
This moody, sad sack attitude that I just – it's not translating with this team on the floor. And I hate to say it, I didn't think this would be the case. But Jaylen is getting exposed without Tatum and the rest of the talent around him. I think your Zach LaVine comp is a pretty good one.
Thank you.
LaVine's made 2 all-star teams. Brown's already made 4 on his way to 5.
Yeah, but it helps when you're on a winning team, right?
100%.
I think Klay Thompson's a really good player, but the what if of his career, if he's not paired up with Steph Curry, what does that look like?
How many all-star teams has Klay Thompson
made? A bunch.
If I had to guess, like...
Well, winning teams...
8?
Yeah. I bet that's too many.
5. You're right.
Yeah,
so
it's
honestly like closer to Jaylen.
Yeah.
I looked up Jamal Murray. I was surprised. Jamal Murray's never made an all-star team.
That's
weird.
I was
like, what would Denver be?
Good playoff player.
What if Jokic went down? And Jokic is better than Tatum.
Mm-hmm.
But what if Jokic went down, and what would Jamal Murray be? Would he be exposed? They're different style of players. I thought that would be a better comp, but honestly, Murray has no real accolades other than just, I mean, a championship, which Jaylen also has.
He wasn't finals MVP, but he was awesome in that playoff, so I guess there is that. No, Brown has a higher status than Jamal Murray, but yeah, it's just one of those things where a lot of guys on non-playoff teams are able to put up some numbers, and you're just thinking somebody like Brown, who has been at times a top 15 player in the league, should be able to at least elevate the team higher than that. And, you know, I know people are saying, well, it's not just Tatum, it's also all the other guys that you're missing as well. But I don't know, you look at there are teams like the Nets in the league, like you lost to a team like the Jazz, you have a losing record against the Sixers. Like, there were opportunities there where it's not like you're playing the Thunder and the Pistons and, you know, these teams every single night. Like, you have an opportunity to, and nobody, I think the level of expectation was very fair to go into the year. You and I were both somewhat optimistic. We're like, they could be the 6th seed. Right? Yeah. Like, nobody was saying, like, oh, look out, this team
is
going to be...
I wanted to put them higher, but the offseason was such a joke.
Yeah.
I didn't feel good about putting them any higher, but I would have if they took the offseason seriously.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think expectations weren't crazy.
Yeah.
And, yeah, the team, to me, has been disappointing. That includes a win last night. Now, they get...
I keep going back to this part, is the other 3 guys that they let go for salary reasons. They needed to really replace those guys anyway. Could you rely on Kristaps Porzingis? No, you couldn't. It's just been too many times where you're like, he's going to be hurt in big games.
From what I've
he's
read,
now.
From what I've read, yeah, the Hawks are already like done. They're ready to trade him.
Yeah,
they're ready
hurt.
To move his salary. Yeah.
He's already missed almost half the games, and he has a knee injury, so he's already out. Al Horford, you see what he's doing with Golden State?
No.
Nothing.
I bet him a couple of times, and they have not hit, so I'm assuming it's not going
nothing.
Well.
Yeah, that poor guy, remember he texted us his parlay. It all came down to Horford getting like 6 points.
Yeah.
He couldn't even do it.
Yeah,
he's awful.
That was a rough one.
Basically, since he came to the Celtics, every time he's left the Celtics, he's been awful. And he's old. Like, he had a good career. I'm not trying to dump on him. I'm just saying, even if you brought back Porzingis and Horford, how much would they give you? Surprisingly, Holiday's doing decent with Portland.
Yeah, supposedly.
He's doing well.
He's playing well, and Simons has been disappointing here.
Yeah.
But I just
feel like those big guys, you couldn't even rely on them. You wouldn't be like in a much better spot if you had Porzingis and Horford. You know, you'd be writing a pretty big check to 2 guys that would be in and out of the lineup anyway.
Mm.
So, like, you needed to replace those guys regardless of contracts.
Just because his name came up, Simons had a little bit of a bounce back game last night.
Well, he was good in the first half, right?
26 minutes, 11 points, right? And some of when, you know, Jaylen was out, they needed something. He even had some assists last night, which hasn't happened a lot with him. The offseason, to me, I think expectations were realistic. And now I think it might be time to revise it down. Like you said earlier, Keith, I don't know, were you joking or were you being serious when you said they're a play-in team? Have you moved them down in your mind from a team that should be top 6?
Well, because I really thought, of all people, you'd get more out of Derek White.
Because really, they're like a game out of being a top 6
seed.
Yeah,
no, it's still
Atlanta's,
pretty jumbled.
Atlanta's 9-6. They're the 6 seed. You know, you're really a game back of them.
Well, I mean, the 2 seed and the 11 seed are separated by 2 games. So it's still very, very clustered. But I know they've won 3 games in a row, so there's at least that. But, yeah, I have less confidence in them now than I did at the start of the season.
Oh, I agree with that. Yeah, I have less confidence in them. I haven't lowered my expectations yet. Like, they should still be a sixth seed. But, you know, I want to see if teams like Philly drop off. Detroit is good, and we thought Detroit was good a year
Detroit's
ago.
Nice.
I don't think they're as good as they played, though.
No, but they'll have a better record than the Celtics.
Is Toronto going to fall off? No, those are some of the teams ahead of the Celtics, and you can play that game two ways. Right now, Milwaukee and Orlando and the Celtics all have the same record. Maybe some
Giannis
of those teams
a couple weeks
move back. So that's kind of where they're at now. They get Brooklyn again. They get Orlando, which they've split with. Orlando's been disappointing, but they have the same record as you. And then the schedule really does pick up for the Celtics. Detroit, Minnesota, Cleveland, New York. So I think that stretch right there, we probably figure out a lot. If they play well, if they play well in that stretch,
it's
fair to start believing in this team again. If they play poorly in that stretch, then I think, you know, our adjusted expectations, it might be time to start dropping them down.
They need to win these next two, I think, just to give themselves like
Brooklyn and Orlando.
Yeah.
And the Orlando game is a home game. So
yeah, the next two, actually the next three are homes. That Detroit game is even a home game the day before Thanksgiving. That'll be a good one.
6-1-7
o'clock.
Yeah. Well,
wait, what?
Yeah. Early. Oh, wait.
Early
Thanksgiving Eve?
Yeah.
5 o'clock?
So everyone's in their car?
By the time we're home from traffic at 2 o'clock, Kevon, that we'll barely get home for tip-off that day.
When everyone's walking into the high school hero bars, it's going to be tip-off for Celtics Pistons? Okay.
617-779-7937. You want to talk Celtics, do it now. Your thoughts on Jaylen Brown? Have you been disappointed in him and the rest of the team? Is it time to adjust our expectations downwards for the Celtics? And do you agree with Rich? Are they not bad enough to tank this year? I know some on the text line are already taking us to task for even bringing up the idea of tanking. So you can discuss there. It's 617-779-7937, but you got to do it now. We're going to mix in Red Sox thoughts before the hour's out. We're going to mix in Bruins thoughts before the hour's out. We have Would You Rathers at 11:30, hashtag Dork Minute at 11:45, and Pure Hoops at high noon with Terp. Plus, the Jones and Keefe AFC standings. It's official. It's proprietary. We have a new way of looking at the AFC, and we'll get to it at 11 o'clock. Billy Lanny has all the latest here in trending. And then, do the Red Sox have a shot at Tarik Skubal? Maybe? Let's get to it right after the update.
The Greg Hill Show, weekdays 6 to 10.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending Now is brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. The Boston Celtics are now on a three-game winning streak after last night's 113-99 win over the Nets in Brooklyn. Jaylen Brown led all scorers with 29 points. The C's return to the court on Friday night. The Celtics will once again play the Nets, this time in an NBA Cup group stage matchup. Tonight, the Boston Bruins begin a four-game road trip in Anaheim to play the Ducks. Puck drop at the Honda Center is at 10 o'clock. Defenseman Charlie McAvoy will not be on the road trip due to an upper body injury. The New England Patriots return to the practice field today at 2:15. Head coach Mike Vrabel will meet with the media at 1:10. You can hear the press conference right here on 93.7. This Sunday, the Pats will be in Cincinnati to take on the Bengals. Bengals wide receiver Ja'Marr Chase lost a suspension appeal, will miss Sunday's game, and will have to forfeit his weekly check of over $500,000. Yesterday, the Boston Red Sox made a bunch of moves. The Sox traded pitcher Chris Murphy to the Chicago White Sox for minor league catcher Ronnie Hernandez. Sox also traded pitcher Alex Hope to the Seattle Mariners for a minor league catcher Luke Heyman. Pitcher Brendan Berandino was traded to the Colorado Rockies for outfielder Braden Wood. And the Sox also acquired infielder Tristan Gray from the Tampa Bay Rays for minor league pitcher Luis Guerrero. And the Sox designated first baseman Nathaniel Lowe and pitcher Josh Winkowski for assignment. And Boston College basketball got the 63-52 win over the Hampton Pirates last night. Up next, the Eagles will be in South Carolina to play Davidson on Friday night. As Massachusetts insurance plans renew this year, most are pulling back GLP-1 coverage for weight loss. Awaken 180 is here to help you with $500 off your Awaken program. Lose it once and keep it off with a solution for weight loss. Awaken180weightloss.com. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Come.
The question, Keith, is
yes.
Is it the greatest cover of all time? That is the question.
On the short list. It is on the short list, isn't it?
It's very much on the short list, yeah.
It makes my wife very angry to suggest that. We were actually talking about this.
Great cover.
Is this why you played this, Nick? Why did you play this?
It's exactly why. Okay, like, I hope Cat's listening right now.
Better than the original.
Me, Nick, and Billy were all talking about this the other day, and it's on the short. It's on the Mount Rushmore of best covers, and it angers my wife very much to suggest that, but it's just true.
Yeah.
It's better than the original.
Way better than the original.
That's a good shorthand discussion for making a cover excellent.
Faith by Limp Bizkit,
sure.
Better.
Ooh.
Word Up by Korn, better.
I knew you were going to say that one.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think my list is just that. I think that's my whole list.
Hurt by Johnny Cash.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even know if it's better, because people everybody says it's better. They're both very good. They're different. What else you got?
Was the Behind Blue Eyes version of Limp Bizkit a cover?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was definitely a cover.
Definitely a cover.
That one's up there for me anyway.
Good one? Yeah, no, it's good. That one's real nice. What do you think? You don't think so?
Isn't like All Along the Watchtower? That's a cover.
Yes.
Bob Dylan did the original?
There's like four different ones of that. Mm-hmm.
Right? The Hendrix one over the Bob Dylan one.
Hendrix, Bob Dylan, Dave Matthews.
Dave Matthews did it, man.
Yeah, they're all there.
I was there when Dave played it, man. Yeah.
Marilyn Manson did Personal Jesus, the Depeche Mode song.
Yeah.
And Beautiful People.
That's a cover?
No.
Is that a cover?
No, Marilyn Manson cover. There's another cover Marilyn Manson did.
Cover of Marilyn Manson? No. I can't keep track of which song to start with.
No. That's an original. He's been canceled, by the way, so he's a bad guy. But I'm just saying he had a couple of covers. And apparently, like in concert, he has like a million covers.
I know what you're talking about, though. There's a Marilyn Manson cover that got like radio play. I don't know. I can't think of what it is off the top of my head. Okay. I think settled that.
Yep.
We
nailed
also,
it.
A lot of people weighing in on the Celtics and Jaylen Brown. I don't know that this is an insult, by the way.
What's the what is it?
Text line, you guys are finally seeing Jaylen for what he is. He's a 2 and maybe a high 3.
Ooh. Is it an insult? First of all, he's not a 3. You're doing too much. He's not a 3.
A high 3 is an insult, but calling him a 2, I don't think is an insult.
He won a title as the 2 and he had the better series, and that's what some like second guys are capable of. Like Kevin Garnett was probably the best player on the 08 team. Paul Pierce one that was the Finals MVP.
Sweet Dreams. That's the Marilyn Manson cover.
Sweet
Dreams.
That's what you're
thinking of as a cover. That's the one I was trying to come up with. Yeah. There you go. Yeah.
Nick can sleep at night now.
Good one.
Beautiful. I was definitely listening.
Beautiful People was a cover.
Beautiful People was not. Now that was an original.
That threw me.
That's probably his best song. But okay. Also,
I was thinking of Sweet Dreams.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. We got it. We landed the plane.
Yeah. We got that.
Anybody mention Blue Monday by OG?
Ooh, excellent one, Bill.
Throw your hat in the ring on
excellent
that one.
Good one. Bill. I'd put that in my Mount Rushmore.
All right.
It would be.
You're out, Johnny Cash.
Limp Bizkit, Korn, Manson, and Orgy. Just my 1999 CD collection.
All right. Yeah. You're out, Johnny Cash.
Yep. Take a hike.
But I don't think calling Jaylen Brown a 2 is an insult. Like, it's like, oh, you're seeing him for what he is. He's a 2. Yeah, that's fine.
But
especially
that's
when Jaylen or Jason Tatum comes back
in
February.
We go back to this question before where you're like, all right, how many true number ones are there? There's 30 teams in the NBA. There's not 30 true number ones. There might be 8. So
I was going to say, there's probably less than 10 true number ones. Yeah.
So like, it's really not that much of an insult because both things can be true. You can be like, all right, you're a number 2 player. But you're also the 16th best player in the NBA. Right? Like both things can definitely be true.
100%.
Yeah.
100%. Same thing with the number one starter, Keith. How about that for a second?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, you weren't even
good
ready
thing
for
I'm
that.
Sitting down.
How many?
I would have been knocked off my feet.
Are there fewer number one starters in baseball, like true aces, than there are number ones in basketball? Probably.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Red Sox have one of them in Garrett Crochet. I know you agree with that. I think most people out there would agree with that.
No doubt.
Jeff Passan came out with what I think is a significant update on Tarik Skubal yesterday, who would be another. Bob Nightingale came out early this offseason, USA Today, and said Skubal is going nowhere.
Okay.
To which I said, okay, if he says he's going nowhere, let's take him off the list. I thought he'd move. I listened to the tech bro GM there in Detroit. I listened to him at his breakup, and it sure sounded like they were going to trade him.
Uh-huh.
But okay, what do I know? Bob Nightingale says he's not moving. I'll take him at his word. Passan has thrown some cold water on that. He said yesterday, in a big takeout for all of free agency, there's lots of Red Sox stuff in there we can pick through.
He had a lot of items.
He said there's no consensus throughout the industry on whether or not Scuba will move.
Real quick, that's pretty significant. So because
that is significant.
Because a month ago, Bob Nightingale was like, guys, Skeens and Scuba, they're not going anywhere. So you're like, oh, that's too bad.
By the way, Skeens, he says the same thing. He's like, he is not going anywhere.
Yeah.
So if you read further down, anybody who's about to text, trade for Paul Skeens.
No. That one I feel like is definitely unlikely because of where he's at with his contract, age, everything.
And
like, that's not happening.
Reading this full thing from Passan, which took some time, Keith. I had to set some time aside, Brian.
A lot in there.
It was a long, lengthy takeout. He's making it sound like the Pirates actually might be spenders in free agency, which is crazy. So he's like, they're not ripping things down. They're spending.
Yeah.
Well, you're shaking your head. We'll see
where
it goes.
Well, they won't get anybody. It might be like when the Blue Jays say they're going to do it, then they don't really get anybody.
But to your point, he is still saying Skeens is not moving. Don't bother asking.
Yeah.
Scooble says there's no consensus throughout the industry.
So there you go. That means this guy could be moved.
Right. It's not a yes, but not shutting it down.
But if you have a really good trade proposal, it sounds like they're listening.
He says some are convinced the Tigers will move the back-to-back AL Cy Young winner because, as one person put it, quote unquote, they have to.
Ooh.
Whatever the decision is not easy. Only a handful of teams have the prospect depth and urgency to pull off such a deal. And he makes the case that really trading Scooble isn't about the Tigers, it's about other teams. If teams step up and pay what they think is a worthwhile return for Scooble, they'll move him. So you got to meet the asking price. But if you meet the asking price and there's only a select few teams that can do it, then he won't be moving unless you can meet that asking price. He does specifically highlight the Red Sox. Quote, the Red Sox pairing Scooble with Crochet at the top of their rotation would give them two of the best three pitchers in baseball. That's why he's listing off all the teams that could be in.
Agreed.
They're a team that has prospect depth.
Yes.
They're a team that's talking like they're looking to add at the front of their rotation, not 3 through 10, but 1 or 2, which Scooble would be. I don't know. Is the door open for Scooble to the Red Sox?
It should be. It absolutely should be. And you flagged it the second the GM for the Tigers started talking about it. You're like, oh, that doesn't sound like a guy that they're for sure going to lock up. And we talked to Bradford about this off and on during the season and then when we had him on last week. And Scooble, also a Boris guy, I believe. And so Scooble probably will not do the thing where you trade for him and then before the season starts, you sign this big extension like Eric Crochet, which the way Crochet started looks like it could be a deal for the Sox. So he may...
Do you believe that, by the way?
I don't think it's a lock. A lot of baseball players sign early. I'm surprised how many of them do it.
Don't we hear this over and over again that guys want to sign before the lock? Like, if he could get his... He's a pitcher. If he could get his money right now guaranteed the second
John
he gets traded.
Any minute now.
Well, and then there's the lockout looming, too. There's all this way that your money is not... Let's say he blows out his arm, and then there's a lockout. I think he'd take a contract, but you'd have to blow him away.
So I think if I had to guess right now one way or the other, he would go to free agency. But that doesn't mean you can't, have the top offer and bring him back. And maybe that's where the negotiation with the Tigers comes into play. And be like, look, we don't have a long-term deal cut out with them, so we're not going to give you, Early and Toley. Like, you got to pick one of those guys. You got to pick one of these guys. It's going to still be a massive trade that you'd have to do. But I fully... I'm on board with that. There are three stud pitchers. Like if we were tiering pitchers in baseball, I think it's Crochet, Skeens, Scooble. After that,
you
got to
rank within that tier.
I would go Skeens, Scooble, Crochet.
Me too.
Yeah. I think Yamamoto, you can't really, the way he pitches in the playoffs, you have to put him up there too.
He might have leveled up.
And there's a few other guys that are obviously very, very good, but we talked about this the other day when we were talking about like the value of Roman Anthony, the value of Shohei Ohtani, like expansion draft. I'm normally pretty afraid of pitchers because I just feel like any second they're going to need Tommy John and then you're out for a whole season. Whereas I would take my chances with the everyday player and go from there. But there are those three guys that are kind of special. They already identified one with Crochet. So far, so good. Scooble's that same kind of thing where if you have those two guys, do you know what an overwhelming advantage it is? You go into a playoff series and you're like, we have Crochet, Scooble.
It's Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling.
It is.
I mean, no offense to Pedro and Curt Schilling, but like Pedro was not at the top of his game in 04. It'd be Randy Johnson and Curt Schilling.
It's insane. So, I would be very much in favor of that. Because think about this. If you're ready to have a trade package set for Joe Ryan, Joe Ryan's not a free agent. We would both want Joe Ryan. And if you traded for Joe Ryan, you'd have to trade more to get Scooble. But still, you're already preparing yourself there. So a big type of trade, you have this awesome farm system, and you can't even play everybody. Right, like we've talked about that. Like, you're trying to, you're probably spinning off an outfielder as it is, let alone all these guys that are in your system right now. So yeah, I would be 100% on board with a Skubal trade.
Me too. And I think the door is ajar. Now, will Breslow knock it down? I have no idea.
Yeah.
But I think a move is there to be made. I'm happy to read that from Passan. You mentioned Joe Ryan. He said potential trade partners believe the Twins will deal one of their co-aces. I didn't realize they had co-aces.
Co-aces?
Joe Ryan or Pablo Lopez, not both. Each has the same issue as Mackenzie Gore, a contract that expires in 2027. When he was writing about Gore, he was talking about the lockout. The other name, and this conflicts with Bob Nightingale as well, so maybe Nightingale just doesn't know what he's talking about, or maybe Passan doesn't know what he's talking about, but they disagree. Skubal available, according to Passan, not Nightingale. Peralta. Freddy Peralta in Milwaukee. Now that, who picked up their option in Milwaukee? Brandon Woodruff, except it's a qualifying offer, rather. That's now likely that Freddy Peralta could get dealt. So that's maybe another arm.
Right.
But that's a notch probably below Joe Ryan and certainly a couple of notches below Tarik Skubal.
He had a great year, though. Peralta did.
Yeah, he did. Awesome. But again, why is Milwaukee making him available? That makes it a little suspect for me. 617-779-7937. You can jump in here on Jones and Keefe. We've talked Celtics. We'll mix in your thoughts on the Red Sox. We should get to the Bruins as well. It's mind of my business, Keefe.
Yeah, as you do.
Scrolling around the internet.
Uh-huh.
And I saw the Bruins playoff odds.
Oh.
And I was flabbergasted.
Okay.
At the number.
All right.
What exactly are their playoff chances? Let's get to it.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
But coming up next.
All right, so this is a good cover. This is a great cover. A great memory by Bill. This was Orgy with Blue Monday. And so back in whatever it was, 98, you bought this album. You'd buy the whole CD for this song.
Yeah, you'd buy like a single.
No.
Oh, you're saying you bought the whole CD. I'm sorry.
For this song. Got it. Then turns out, whole thing's excellent.
Whole thing rips.
Stitches? Give Stitches a rip. Listen to Stitches someday. You'll thank me later.
I'll add it to my list.
This was a no-skip album. Called Candy Ass.
This is a no skip?
Yeah, it was always weird because people would be like, I know. Well, it's also weird. So they're like, what's your favorite band? And for me, in middle school, early high school, Orgy. So the other day, and so now I've had to not play it in the car because now little CeCe Beans can read.
She's reading from the back seat. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, so like on the thing, it pops up. And so she'll see it. So she'll know before the song starts like who it is. And she'll be like, what is like...
Orgy?
Yeah, what is Limp Bizkit? You're like, I don't even know.
I don't worry
about
it.
And then she's like, what band is this? She's like, look at that.
Don't tell your mom.
Like, what is that?
Don't tell your mom what we're listening to. You know what Lucas does from the back seat?
Don't get my ex-wife going. No, what does he do?
So he's figured out, and this was, I don't know, in the last year or so, he's figured out that when dad's speeding on the GPS.
Oh.
Because if you have that open.
Got it.
He's like, it very clearly says what the speed limit is, and then it has your miles per hour. It's like, I'm 1 mile over.
Yeah.
Dad's and he's red. Like, and trust me.
You said you were very clearly speeding.
Oh, no. I'm much further over that at times, but there are times where I'm like 1 mile an hour over. And he's like, Dad,
yeah.
The GPS says you're speeding.
Backseat driver.
I'm like, yeah, but
yeah.
That's a suggestion.
Don't
Lucas.
Worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. That's
when
not,
you get a license, you'll understand.
Yeah. That's not, they're not going to pull me over for that.
I don't think so.
I'll prove it to you. I'll push this a little bit. But yeah, so reading from the backseat.
Yeah, reading from the backseat. So now you got
to
be careful.
You want your kids to read, you say.
Well,
maybe not so much.
A tough name for a band. Or a great name. I can't tell which.
No, it is a good one. By the way, we missed Simple Man by Shinedown.
Yeah. Shinedown. I danced with my mother at my wedding, Bragg.
Yeah, you met the...
I met him.
You met that gentleman.
I met the lead singer. He was here. He was in the house. Little guy.
I was gonna say, how would you describe him? Nice guy or little guy? Or
big
both?
Voice.
A nice little guy, big voice.
Little guy, big voice. I'm sure he's doing well for himself. He's a rock star.
It seemed like he was doing great.
Yeah.
Came right in. Greg paraded him right in. He brought him right over. You got to meet.
Let's just say if I had to wrestle him, I could win. I don't think it would ever come to that, but if I had to.
What sort of chance would you give me?
To wrestle him?
Yeah.
I think it would be a draw.
He's a rocker. I think
you
I
both
give him,
get points.
I give him the edge. Yeah, I get some points.
He's
in there.
A badass rock star, maybe he'd win.
I'd give him the edge.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. Nick, don't make a face at that. I heard it.
Don't worry.
Don't make a face at that.
It's like I'm efforting right now.
The Bruins the other night.
Yeah, you were saying they got they start a road trip tonight, so hopefully you're staying up late, brew yourself a little cup of coffee. They got the Ducks at 10.
I'm going to tell you right now,
under 12 hours from the game.
I doubt I will be, but I've heard a lot about these Ducks.
Yep.
I can't stop hearing about these Ducks.
Well, you're talking about those first place Ducks.
Yep, those.
They lead the Pacific.
Bruins also lead the Atlantic. So you
No, they don't.
Oh, did they get passed last night?
Not so fast, my friend. Yeah, Detroit won again, so
sorry.
Detroit's got the lead.
Bruins idol got passed. Those games out of hand are working against the Bruins.
Starting to backfire.
So the Detroit Red Wings have a game in hand. They are a point up on the Bruins. The Canadiens are 2 points back, two games in hand, rather, and a point back. Then you get the Tampa, Ottawa, Florida, all have played 19.
Yeah, it's pretty congested.
And I mean, all are within striking distance.
Yeah, it's like the NBA standings we were looking at earlier. It's all pretty close early in the season.
So ESPN is going through, and it's Greg Wyshynski. He's got his NHL bubble watch, Keith, projecting the playoff hopes for all 32 teams.
Bubble watch.
So, like, for instance, he has the Tampa Bay Lightning as a lock, 95% in the Atlantic. That's the only lock.
Wow.
For teams that have, quote-unquote, work to do.
This is the work to do tier?
Yep.
Okay.
In the Atlantic Division. Division tiers.
Wow. You're kind of limiting yourself.
The locks.
You might as well just do a power ranking at that
Tampa,
point.
Tampa, 95%.
Tampa's a lock in the Atlantic. Okay.
Work to do.
Sure.
Ottawa.
Yeah.
At 60%.
I get it.
The Panthers, 47.7%.
They do have work to do. They've both gotten off to slow starts.
And the Canadiens. The Habs are at 47%. Mm. Oh, I'm sorry. And Detroit as well. Current leader in the division at 35%.
So they all have work to do?
All those teams have work to do. There's more tiers, Keith.
How many tiers? There's only like 8 teams in the division.
Long shots at best.
Okay.
Toronto, 25%. Buffalo, 11.2%.
They're in dead last.
Dead last in the Atlantic, bottom tier, long shot playoff team. At playoff chances at 3.2%. Your and my
what?
Boston Bruins.
They've played a quarter of the season. If this was the talk before the year began, aren't they a little bit better? Was it fair to say? I don't want to put words in your mouth, Jones.
I told you I was flabbergasted. You sound flabbergasted.
Aren't the Celtics?
I tried to warn you.
How I view it is the Celtics are a little bit worse than I thought. Not dramatically worse, but they're a little bit worse than I thought. And the Bruins are a little bit better than I thought. And I'm not talking about after the first week where maybe I overreacted to the losing streak and we gagging for Gavin was created. But I mean preseason, I was like, they're probably going to be a team that just misses the playoff. They're not a playoff team, but they're also not a basement dweller. I thought they were kind of there. I don't know. Like, they've played 21 games. This isn't a 5-game sample size. They're 1 point behind Detroit in the division. So I could clearly understand if one of the national hockey guys was like, yeah, I don't think they make the playoffs. All right, fine. But to give them the least amount chance to out of this division is pretty surprising.
I just skimmed through. Lottery bound is another tier that he has, Keith.
Wait a minute.
There are,
I thought you already used all the teams.
This is across the NHL, though. There are no lottery bound teams, apparently, in the Atlantic.
So now we're back to gagging for Gavin.
The only teams with worse playoff chances than the Bruins, according to Greg Wyshynski, ESPN. You can send your hate mail to him. Vancouver, the Chicago Blackhawks, and the Nashville Predators. That's it. Those are the only teams with lower playoff odds than the Bruins. If you want his logic, by the way, he says, it must be stressed. This is what the Stathletes model,
Statletes?
Stathletes model currently projects as the Bruins playoff
chances.
Not to
be confused with the Jones and Keefe NFL power ranking
formula.
That's later.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the stat of the week.
These are...
We had so many last week. This week, we haven't had any
Pages yet. Haven't played.
True.
Well, then maybe this is it.
It could be a Bruins stat.
Bruins playoff
stat.
This team is in second place in the division after Tuesday's games. He says, cause for concern, can two players carry an entire offense? Geeky and Pastrnak are the only players to score more than 6 goals through 21 games this year. Well, it is never a good sign when a team's offense can be better defined as, quote-unquote, a duo.
Better than one guy. going into the year that I might just be Pastrnak.
That's a good point.
Geeky's been consistent, following up on the good year that he had last year. It's funny that he puts him in a category with teams like Vancouver and Nashville. And not that goal differential is the be-all, end-all, but I'll lob a stat your way. So far to this point, St. Louis is a minus 23. So that's like the worst in the league. Calgary's minus 22. Nashville's minus 21. The Bruins are even, Steven. They're even. And so if you want to say, in fact, Nick brought this up the other day, Tampa's the only team with a positive goal differential in the entire division.
Stat of the week.
Nominee.
Well, when I said it at the time, the Bruins were the only team. So.
Okay.
Well, whatever. Well,
we're
now tweaking. There's still only one team.
We're tweaking your stat.
Goal differential.
Yeah. No. It's still credit. Full credit where credit is due. But I'm saying, like, I fully understand not expecting the next, you know, three quarters of the season to still have the Bruins as the one or two seed in the Atlantic. But to just, like, assume they're going to bottom out, that is a surprise to me.
Worst team in the Atlantic.
Worst team in the division.
Worst playoff odds in the division. How do you feel about that, Bruins fans? You can dial us up, 617-779-7937. Along with your hypothetical scoople trades, we got a good one on that. We also have your Celtics thoughts as well. We'll talk to Terp with Pure Hoops at high noon. We have the hashtag Dork Minute at 11:45, plus a Would You Rather Wednesday at 11:30. But there's been a lot of talk about the Patriots, their schedule. Are they fool's gold? Strength of victory, strength of schedule, all these things. Jones and Keefe, we've come up with a proprietary formula to rework the AFC's standings. Where do the Patriots fit in? You will find out coming up next.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.